I'm so grateful that in the providence of God, I can be here, standing here this evening. I may not do as well as perhaps you would expect me to, because I'm still having some voice problems, but nevertheless, I'll do the best I can due to the situation. Before I begin the lesson, I want to especially express thanks and gratitude both to God and His providence, His love and mercy, and to each of you and others over the past 5 months and more has given your prayers, cards, phone calls, and visits. They surely did help. And if you're ever in a position of where you would hope and pray and trust that you would do better in the days ahead, no one can do a better job than fellow Christians. And I appreciate it. I speak on my behalf or for Betty as well as for myself. I told Brother Brian this morning after his lesson that earlier this week I had been thinking about a lesson that actually I had borrowed, at least a part of it, from Brother Dwight Fuqua. He was the minister at Rockingham at one time, and I received his bulletin for a long time after he went over to a place in Tennessee, and I think has moved time or two since then. I'd like for us to get him here for a gospel meeting sometime. He's good. And so I'm going to give him credit for a lot of this. But in the lesson this morning, Brother Brian touched upon some things that have to do with parental responsibility and the things that have to do with the promotion and growth and development of individuals as well as a congregation of the Lord's people. Brother Dwight entitled his lesson, 3 Decades of Moral Decline. Now, I've changed that a little bit, and 5 decades of moral decline are the state of our nation. And a lot of it will have to do with some statistics, and they're not just something that Brother Dwight lifted from his head because he gives references for these things. So I may, quote, bore you a little bit at the beginning with these things because they are, even though he was writing for a 5-decade situation, it has been more than 5 decades since 1960, and that's what he was writing about. That's a lot. At that time, they were saying, God is dead. But he wasn't. Never has been. God is dead. And when that movement died, they said, the practice of religion robs people of happiness. And that's a lie. People who are truly following the ways that the Bible outlines are those who enjoy life. What could be more enjoyable than knowing that through the heartaches and the pains and so forth of this life that there is a better land, a better time that is reserved for those who will be faithful unto or until death, whichever comes first. And so they said, America does not need the moral values of the past. This is the then 20th century, now 21st century. We need it more and more and more than we ever have in the past. I've lived long enough, and some of you have, to see great and drastic changes in people in general. How many of you locked your doors before you left home? All of us, if you want to be safe. And that doesn't really help. If a man wants to get into your house, he can and will get in. I can get into most houses. And I never was a thief as such. And I've gotten into several automobiles, my own particularly, when I got locked out. One time I had to raise the hood, not the head, the hood, well, I guess it is the head in a sense, the hood, and go in and take the voltage regulator out in order to get in under there and get the key out. So there's ways and means of doing things. So they said, America does not need the moral values of the past. What are they today? Turn your radio on, turn the television on, talk to people in general, and what do you hear? Rape, murder, and thefts, and all kinds of evil and wicked things. And then, now they're saying, we're then and still are saying, there's nothing that is absolute. Absolutely, there is a God, and He is alive. And He does have a few faithful followers, not as many as He would love to have, because He would that all men would be saved, coming to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, these following things were published in an article by William J. Bennett. Some of you may have heard of him. He was the former Secretary of Education in the 60s, and it was entitled Quantifying America's Decline. And then he declared in this particular article, since 1960 into the 90s, the population of our country has increased 41%. 41%. That many more people have come into America, some legally and many illegally, since 1960. And I don't know what the percentage would be today. The total social spending by our government has risen from $143 billion at that time. And then at the time that Brother Dwight was giving this, it had gone up to $787 billion. And it's far beyond that now. And I didn't have the ways or the means to take the time to try to get a more up-to-date on this. But these things have not disappeared. The things that caused all of this erosion in our society has gotten worse and worse. Welfare has increased by 630%. And the Bible says the man won't work, don't let him eat. But doles and handouts by our government is increasing all the time. And they're looking for more people. Basically, they're buying votes. They wouldn't tell you that, but that's exactly what it amounts to. Spending on education has increased by 225%. That was then. 225%. Violent crime has increased 560%. No wonder you can turn the television on most any time there's a news report, whether it's local or up in Timbuktu or wherever that is. There's been a lot of murdering, killing, death, rape going on. Illegitimate children have increased 419%. That is a sinful shame on any nation, and particularly a nation that was founded upon godly principles. But we have people now that just shying away from those things that guided our country into the being of the Christian nation that she was. And I'm not saying that, trying to belittle our nation at all. I'm glad that I'm American. I don't know of any other part of the world that I would rather be in. The divorce rate has quadrupled, nearly 3 out of 4 marriages. Nearly 3 out of 4 marriages have already divorced, and some of the others are on the rocks. And that's a blight against any people. The percentage of children living in single-parent homes, 200% rise. The SAT scores has dropped by almost 80 points. We have a lot of idiot-like youngsters around us today. They're not being taught the principles that most of you, or perhaps all of you, were taught, beginning in the lower grades and all the way up through high school. There's no such thing among us, hardly anymore, about patriotism. Besides the things of honesty and sincerity and care and concern for thy neighbor and so forth. Alexander, and I have trouble with this name. I've tried to use it before. Let me spell it and then you pronounce it, suit yourself. Solzhenitsyn. Solzhenitsyn. Anyway, he said the West, that's us, has been undergoing an erosion of an obscuring and high moral and ethical ideals. The spiritual axis of life has grown dim. And again, Bennett points out that there is a vast body of evidence to support that conclusion. And to support that, he gives some facts. The percent of illegitimacy in 1960 was 5.3%. In 1970, it was 10.7%. In 1980, it was 18.4%. And in 1990, it was 25.2%. The source, National Center for Health Statistics. And that's terrible, isn't it? If you think about these things, illegitimacy, and all of these things that are such a blight to our nation. In 1990, 3.5 of our children were on welfare, and that was bad enough. But by 1990, that figure had grown to 11.9. And it's still growing. Still growing. And that source is from the Bureau of the Census. In 1960, the teen suicide rate was 3.6 rather. In 1970, it was 7.6. 1980, it was 8.5. And in 1990s, it was 11.38. It's a sad thing when youngsters, whatever causes them to do it, take their own lives. Or for older people, for that matter. Oftentimes, it's self-murder. Sometimes people say, well, surely they didn't know what they were doing. But sometimes, because they didn't know what they were doing, was because of what they imbibed. And I'll say more maybe about a corrective measure on that in a moment. But the percentage of the illegitimacy, of course, is bad in and of itself. In 1980, it was 8.5 as far as this suicide was concerned. And that source is from the Bureau of Census as well. And then the violent crime rate per 10,000 in 1960 was 16.1. And by 1970, it had grown to 36.4. And by 1980, it had grown again to 59.7. In 1991, the violent crime rate per 10,000 was 75.8. Going up all the time. And it doesn't look like or sound like, from what I've seen and heard, that it's going to get any better soon, if ever. And I'm afraid that it will not, if or until people get back to the Bible and God. A lot of folk don't want you to even mention God anymore. Because God opposes what they intend to do. Period. Doesn't matter who it hurts, what the harm may be. I'm going to do what I want to do. And don't you try to stop me. It's the attitude of all too many people in our society today. The moral decline of the past 50 years is largely due to one thing in particular, and many folk are in agreement with this, the breakdown of the home. Parental responsibility is one of the greatest and gravest of tasks that individuals have. And if people are not going to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 4, then don't bring them into the world. There's all kinds of ways and means to keep people from having children that they don't want. But they're going to miss the fun of having them, or at least getting the opportunity to have them. And then curse, perhaps the rest of that child's life, that they came along. And that's pitiful. That people will get that low in the way they live. But it's happening all around us. Moral decline in the past, largely due to the breakdown of the home. Our homes have traditionally provided the moral training of our children. Not much anymore. Or it's not getting over to the children the way some of their morals are. And we can just write it down and add it up. The morality of the children is caused primarily of the immorality of the adults. Children begin to learn early in life to follow the example of parents or someone else. And if it leads to something that they enjoy doing, they're going to be wanting to do it more and more. John Updike has written, the fact that compared to the inhabitants of Africa or Russia, we still live well. We still live well, he says. But that cannot ease the pain of feeling that we no longer live nobly. Brother Kenneth Reed, and I've mentioned this perhaps more than once, I know at least once to this pulpit, wrote a pamphlet, How Long Will God Continue to Bless America? Could be most any time now that he'd just say, well, I've given them a chance. I said, don't talk like that. That's the way things look from where I stand. The hard truth is that in a free society, the ultimate responsibility rests with the people themselves. Of the people, by the people, for the people. That's not necessarily true anymore, is it? By the government, for the government, and for we, the leaders of our nation. That's what politics is all about today. And I'm thinking more and more that we're in a position this year that really we don't have a vote that will count. Well, while the conduct of the wicked oppresses and torments us, let me read 2 Peter 2:6 through 8. And in this context, there were the prophets of verse 1 of chapter 2, 2 Peter. There were the false prophets who among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. That's a pretty good picture being painted of America today. And it's sad that I can say with many who are in the church, but very seldom in the church building. And there's a difference. Big difference. While we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians 5:11, we're to be the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13, the light of the world, Matthew 5:14 and 15. Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works, so forth. The light of the world, and also the leaven of righteousness. You cannot pronounce that word without saying right. Doing that which is right, particularly doing that which is right in the sight of God and before and to all men that we come into contact with. We are to be the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13, the light of the world, Matthew 5, I said, the leaven of the righteous, Matthew 13:33, and the epistles of Christ. What is it to be an epistle of Christ? 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 through 3 tells us, and it's namely somewhat like the Lord Himself pointed out that we just referred to, let your light so shine before the world. Let your light so shine before the world. See that which is white in your life and in my life. In a day of declining morals, we need our lights to shine brighter and brighter. Remember, righteousness exalts a nation, Proverbs 14, verse 34. And there again, you cannot say righteousness without saying right. Doing that which is right. I believe I'll stop right there with this statement. The hard truth is that in a free society, the ultimate responsibility rests with the people themselves. We have to make up our own minds about how we live. We need to decide that I'm not going to let the debauch and the lowly of this world pull me down. We don't have to do like the world around us does. We have better choices that we can make, and like I said, we better make them. As we have the time and as we have the opportunity to do so, because one day will be too late. Too late. The good news is that what has been self-inflicted among us can be self-corrected. There are things in our world today that's being called sickness, that people brought on themselves by choice. Have you ever seen a drunk wallowing in the gutter? I have literally. Franklin and Biddle Street in St. Louis, Missouri, on a late evening, you could go by and literally see drunks lying at the curb. They're there because they made choices. Choices. And that's only one place out of millions, perhaps billions of places throughout the world that people have brought on themselves that curse. And I know what it can be. My family and I lived with it for many, many years before my father finally saw the light. Never did obey the gospel, but he was searching. He had little tablets, tip-type tablets, in his shirt pocket when he died that had passages of scripture that he denied all his life. Waited too late. After 3 heart attacks, it was over. So, there are so many things round about us the crackhead or the pothead or whatever you want to call them today began with a choice. Maybe they wanted to be like John or Susie or somebody else, fit in with the crowd. No, don't follow a multitude to do evil. And by and large, that's what people are doing all too often today. And they're going to continue encouraging you to do that which is wrong, hopeful that you'll join with them and get in with the fun, which doesn't turn out usually to be fun at all. How many men have had a big time and enjoyed it muchly, as one of our preaching brethren would have said, to wake up the next morning and thought, what was I doing? He didn't think before he started. Because chances are he'd had that same situation over and over and over and over until finally he's gotten to the point where he just cannot do without it. And will do most anything in the world to get what he wants. Whether it's liquor, whether it's drugs, or whether it's sex. And you go from there. People become habituated to doing things that they, well, sometimes they don't enjoy, but things that they want to do. And it becomes difficult. I finally converted, instrumental in the conversion of a man in Alabama that had been to service after service after service, had a good godly wife there every time, and usually he was there with her. I finally got acquainted with him enough to fish with him. We were fishing one Sunday, but not one Sunday, one morning, early in the morning. The mayflies were falling in the water, and the fish were just coming up. And we used some little flies and just catching fish and catching fish. Well, another time we went back to the same place. We weren't biting. Finally, that fellow says, "You know, they're just not biting, are they?" And I said, "No." I said, "You know what that reminds me of?" He said, "What?" And he'd been an old Navy man. Curse like two sailors. See which one could not curse the other. I said, "I've been dangling bait at you for months and months now, and you haven't struck one time." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You know exactly what I'm talking about." He was quiet and a man of the two, and he said, "Let's go." I said, "I've been ready." We went to the bank, loaded the boat, went back to Roger's deal, called his wife. I went by the house and told my wife, "Come on over to the church building. We're going to have a baptism." And that man told me, he said, "I'm bad to curse." He said, "I still am. I have trouble with it." He said, "I don't know if I can quit or not." I said, "Well, if you want to, you can with the Lord's help. People praying with you and for you. You can quit." It was some 10 years later that I was back up that way. They were having a gospel meeting, and he was there. And after the service, he came around and he told me, he said, "Brother Billy," he said, "I very seldom let a bad word slip." He said, "I thought I'd never be as good at not cursing as I am now." So you never know just what it will take sometime to turn someone around in their life. And I had thought that I would use a little bit of a meeting promotional type of lesson this evening, and then I got to thinking, well, the people that will be there on a Sunday afternoon will probably be the people that are already doing most of that kind of work. And the ones that ought to be encouraged won't be there. And so I followed through with the idea that I had earlier in the week, just to use a little bit of a top cap maybe, or a little adding to some of the things Brother Brian had this morning. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to speak this evening. And by and large, it's never useless to extend the Lord's invitation But there might be one here that would want to put on Christ in baptism, or there might be one here in need of the prayers of God's people with them, and, for them in the forgiveness of sins because of having not lived faithfully as they should. If you're in the need of responding to the Lord's invitation, you remember it was His. He said, "Come unto me," and then be encouraged to do so as you stand and sing.